From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Melissa Block. A contrite and grateful Michael Vick met the media today as a new member of the Philadelphia Eagles. The quarterback served 18 months in federal prison on dogfighting charges. His signing with the Eagles was a surprise. Just last week, the team's coach said Philly wasn't interested in Vick, once one of the NFL's most dynamic offensive stars. Well, now the Eagles have to integrate Vick into their team and manage the negative reaction. NPR's Mike Pesca has the story.
The last football field Michael Vick set foot on as a professional was in Philadelphia, Lincoln Financial Field. Same place, very different time, as last night the Eagles were hosting the Patriots when a ripple went through the crowd. What's this? The home team is signing Michael Vick, the felon who's gone from incandescent to radioactive? The question on everyone's mind was voiced by Vick himself in today's press conference.
I know everybody's thinking, why Philadelphia?
The Eagles believe that Vick can return to being a valuable player. That was the necessary condition. But the team's coaches and players also professed a belief in second chances and a belief that Michael Vick believes these words.
You know, I was wrong for what I did. Everything that happened at that point in time in my life was wrong. And, you know, it was unnecessary and you know, to the life of me, to this day, I can't understand why I was involved in such pointless activity. Why did I risk so much at the pinnacle of my career?
Last night, the Eagles starting quarterback Donovan McNabb backed his new backup. McNabb said the two were very close since Vick was a high school star in Virginia, demonstrating running and passing skills that were drawing comparisons to Donovan McNabb. McNabb described himself as a mentor to Vick and said the younger quarterback was grateful and contrite.
By me communicating with Andy and kind of lobbying to get him here, I think he saw the sincerity as well as someone that was willing to kind of stick their neck out on the line for him.
The Andy mentioned by McNabb is Eagles head coach Andy Reid, whose own sons have come into contact with the criminal justice system. One is currently in a state prison. One recently graduated from a drug treatment program. The coach made an allusion to his sons in explaining his decision to take on Vick.
Well, I'm very honest with you. I've kind of followed Michael's situation very close with the things that my boys went through. So they were right around the same time, so I've had a chance to kind of follow that, and I know the things that Michael's gone through.
Two of the country's most prominent animal rights groups, the Humane Society and the ASPCA, expressed a hopeful tone in press releases. PETA expressed disappointment. Some Eagles fans have already rendered their verdicts. Outside the team's training facility today, a few dozen fans assembled, some with their dogs. Barbara Pesetta of Ridley Township, Pennsylvania, shared the majority sentiment.
I'm not an Eagles fan anymore. I have my own business, which is a dog grooming business. I sell Eagles products, and they are all going to be burned. And I am going to invite my customers to come and burn all their Eagles gear.
Contractually, Vick is to be paid $1.6 million this year, but will serve a suspension of a length determined by league commissioner Roger Goodell. Goodell has said he will rule on Vick's reinstatement by week 6 of the NFL's 17-week season. Mike Pesca, NPR News.
The Michael Vick story may be dominating the sports news today, but it's also a busy weekend for actual competition. And that includes a showdown in Berlin between the world's two fastest men. Our regular sports commentator, Stefan Fatsis, joins us now, as he does most Fridays. Hi, Stefan.
Hey.
Okay, so before we get to those really, really fast guys, let's talk a little bit more about Michael Vick. And you actually spent some time inside the NFL. How big a risk do you think the Eagles are taking here?
Well, I think there are three things we need to think about: on the field, off the field, and money. That $1.6 million salary that we just heard about may seem excessive for a convicted felon who hasn't played in 2 years, but it's below the NFL average, and Vick likely won't get that much because players are paid on a prorated weekly basis in the NFL. But it's much more than the minimum salary for a player with Vick's experience, which is $620,000. So clearly there was competition for his services. Now, on the football side, Philly already has a veteran starting quarterback, so if the team plays well, there won't be calls for Vick to start, and the belief is he'll be used in some sort of hybrid running, passing role. But Philadelphia didn't even give Vick a workout before it signed him. His body needs to acclimate again to the constant physical pounding and regain the timing you need to play this sport well.
And we just heard in Mike's piece that fan who wants to burn her Eagles gear. Is the risk then that the Eagles are just taking too big a risk off the field?
Yeah, will all of this become a distraction? Are fans going to buy less or burn more merchandise? Will sponsors cancel contracts? How loud will the absolutely appropriate debate on the moral and ethical implications of allowing Michael Vick to play football again grow? We are in uncharted territory here. There are arguably no other examples of a high-profile team sport athlete returning after a long prison stay. And teams and star players represent cities, and Philadelphia is not known for its quiet and tolerant fan base.
Right. So could this then be a disaster?
Well, you know, the NFL is pretty adept at crisis management and control, and I'm sure that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell carefully screened Vic's possible destinations. The Eagles have a stable and respected front office, a veteran head coach, a competitive team. Vic won't have to be the star here. The Eagles can roll him out slowly, insist that he stay quiet and humble, and hope that the focus fades away. And if it doesn't go well, it's the NFL. Contracts aren't guaranteed. Players can be released at any moment.
Okay, let's go to our other topic. The track and field championships begin tomorrow in Berlin, and the event we've been talking about is the 100-meter dash. It's on Sunday. Tell us about it.
Well, you've got fun-loving world record holder Usain Bolt of Jamaica, and you've got the quieter, workman-like Tyson Gay of the United States. Gay is the defending world champion, but he failed to make the finals at the Beijing Olympics last year, and Bolt stole the show with a record run of 9.69 seconds. This year, Gay has been the faster man. He said he expects it'll take a new world record to win on Sunday, perhaps breaking 9.6 seconds.
Breaking 9.6 seconds. Put that in some context. How much faster is the fastest human running these days?
Well, the 10-second barrier was first broken in 1968, and since 1983, the record has been equaled or broken a total of 18 times. That is way more than in other events. There have been advances in training, track surfaces, shoes, the composition of running outfits, and you can run this race frequently, so there are more times to break the record. So how much faster can a human go? Well, you might remember that Bolt celebrated before hitting the finish line in Beijing, and afterward, a physicist calculated that if Bolt had kept churning all the way to the end, he would have run 9.55. So if we accept that, it's taken 40 years to shave half a second off of the record. Right now, it doesn't seem possible that the unenhanced human body could shave off another half second, but maybe we should talk again in another 40 years, Madeline.
If we're still talking then. Okay. Stefan Fatsis is the author of A Few Seconds of Panic, A Sports Writer Plays in the NFL. He joins us on Fridays to talk about sports and the business of sports. Thanks, Stefan.
Thanks, Madeline.